Well, it is Father's Day, and I am sure thankful that we live in a nation that honors fatherhood, at least in this regard. I know that there are many needs in our nation, but praise God, we have a special day to honor fathers. So supporting the biblical role of fatherhood, supporting the biblical role of fatherhood. Let's take our Bibles over to the book of Ephesians and chapter 5. That last song we sang, My Anchor Holds, the chorus goes on the last part, it says, and it holds, my anchor holds, blow your wildest then, O gale, on my bark so small and frail, by his grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds, my anchor holds. This is something of which we are missing in many lives across this land, is this anchor. The anchor of our soul, the anchor of our faith that many of our forefathers had. A trust in God, a dependence upon the Almighty, a fear of God. And we're losing that in our nation. As our nation has strayed away from the Lord, we have seen the breakdown of the family. We've seen the breakdown of marriage. We've seen the breakdown of fatherhood, of a biblical role of father. And it's a sad thing, but I want to encourage you today with the support of the biblical role of fatherhood. Let's notice what the Bible says. Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 21, the Bible says, speaking about family relationships, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We are supposed to structure ourselves, be in submission to one another under a reverence for God, under a real trembling before who God is. And one who fears the Lord will listen to the word of God. And so we see as God gives us here some information, gives us some instruction, more than information, but instruction and admonition, prescription for the family, we notice that we are together to submit ourselves to one another under the fear of the Lord. Notice verse 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Please go forward to verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we seek you today to teach us, to instruct us, Lord, that each one gathered here would receive something of which would be from you, that would encourage them in their lives and encourage the biblical role of fatherhood. Lord, I pray that everyone gathered here, be it not a father themselves, would be able to encourage and support this worthy, godly, wholesome, very vital role in our society, in your design of humanity. And Lord, we thank you for this. We do pray that you would strengthen our homes. Pray that you'd help each one to seek ways that they might support the biblical paradigm of the family and of the Father. Lord, we thank you for this. We do love you. We seek for you to speak to us now. Guide my words in Jesus' name. Amen. The biblical role of fatherhood. Quite frankly, I don't know where I'd be in my life had I not had a godly, faithful father. And what a treasure it is. And yet, the sad thing is that in the United States of America today, 43% of our children don't have a father. They don't have a father. Unengaged or absentee fathers are on the rise. Back in 1960, children without a father or with an absent father was 11%. 11% of the children in the United States in 1960 didn't have a father. Now 43% today. The home is under attack. That is clear. I'll share with you a few more statistics. 90% of all homeless and runaway children come from fatherless homes. 90%. 85% of all children who show behavior disorders come from fatherless homes. That's from the Center for Disease Control. 85% of all children who show behavior disorders come from fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts, 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 70% of youths in state-operated institutions come from fatherless homes, U.S. Department of Justice. 85% of all youths in prison come from fatherless homes. Daughters of single parents without a father involved are 53% more likely to marry as teenagers, 711% more likely to have children as teenagers. Daughters without a father, 711% more likely to have children as teenagers. Daughters without fathers are 164% more likely to have premarital birth and 92% more likely to get divorced. 71% of pregnant teenagers lack a father. 71%. And so we can see that in our nation, the family is in a sad condition. And we know that there are many factors that have led to this breakdown. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We know that God has it right. We know that God's plan, and you even read, like Ephesians here, and you read his plan for marriage, and the young man getting married is to leave his father and his mother. You know, just the structure passed down from generation to generation of mom and dad seeking to guide their children in the right path, and those children having that accountability as well as that counsel in their life, and going on and seeking to follow God and have a godly home established and to raise children for his glory, and that passing on that heritage, that biblical heritage of the family and of the covenant of marriage and of the training and rearing of children and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And today we've lost that anchor in so many ways in our society. And the promiscuity of youth and adults alike is rampant, and it is acceptable in many ways. It's been made acceptable in our society, and it has given us so many fatherless children. So many children, in fact, the 43% of U.S. children that are without a father is over 15 million children in this nation without their father. What a sad thing this is. In the prison facilities, as I've ministered over the years, sometimes I've talked about mothers, and I've seen an amazingly positive often response when you talk about mothers, celebrating Mother's Day or something like that in the prison facility to inmates. Many of them would send a card if their mom is alive. They would send a card, or they would try to make a phone call, or they would try to have some connection to their mother. But when you talk about fathers, as I did a few years ago, I preached a Father's Day type message in the jail facility, and I remember the response to a handful of men gathered there of just such a, I felt like I was not connecting, and I led me to ask some questions by raised of hands of how many had a father or how many have any kind of relationship with their father, and it was just striking. I don't remember the exact results, but I know that it was a sad state of affairs. Of perhaps the 10 men gathered there, one, maybe two, had any kind of relationship with their father. And so, what a sad thing, and some not even having a clue who their father was, or not even knowing where he was, or anything like that. And so, or some worse, having a very bad relationship with their father. And so, when we talk about God as our father, to many people in our society, that is not a comforting thing. It's not a thing that gives them feelings of security and feelings of love. And that's a very unfortunate and sad thing. For a father, as designed by God, is to be a loving, caring, supporting, nurturing, stable character. It is a great tragedy of our day. And so how can we support the biblical role of fatherhood? First of all, I believe that it's critical that we hold fast the Creator's design of marriage. It is critical that we hold fast the Creator's design of marriage. For God never intended the role of fatherhood to happen outside of marriage, unless there's situations where mom has died or something of this nature. Certainly, there can be completely legitimate situations like that. But God's design is marriage long before there's intimacy, long before there's children on the scene. And we've had such a breakdown in that regard in our nation. And it is a sad thing. The cohabitation and the very loosely non-committal relationships is a tragedy. And the ones who suffer the most are the children conceived. And so we must hold fast the Creator's design. Genesis chapter 2, if I'll ask you to go over there to Genesis 2, right here to the beginning, even before sin entered the world, God had designed marriage. And He designed it perfect. And His design is yet perfect. Genesis 2, verse 18. After God had created all things, all the world, all the animals, verse 18 of Genesis chapter 2. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." I will make him an helpmeet for him. Then notice verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." To leave, to cleave, and to weave. The weaving of two lives together is God's design. The Creator's design is perfect. Hebrews 13 verse 4 says, "Marriage is honorable in all. marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers. It's like a prostituting type situation, whoremongering. Whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Adulterers speaks of those unfaithful within the covenant of marriage. Unfaithfulness. And so you have both outside of marriage and inside of marriage, unfaithfulness addressed there that God will judge. But it says here that marriage is honorable in all. Within God's holy design, it is a beautiful thing. A beautiful place for the most intimate relationship. A beautiful place for children to be conceived. A beautiful place for children to grow and be nurtured with one man and one woman in the holy bond of marriage. And so God's design is perfect. God's design of the very roles of men and women is perfect. In fact, it cannot be improved on. God's design of the role for the man, God's design of the role for the woman cannot be improved on. The biblical design of the Creator, designing the man as the head of the household, the head of the home, the husband, is to be the loving leader. His call is to be the protector, the provider, and the potter of his home, to mold and to shape young lives, to love his wife and cherish her as Christ does his church, to lead his home in spiritual things. And it's such a tragedy today of the attack on men and on godly men, on homes and on godly homes. There is such a pressure from the enemy, because the enemy knows that if he can destroy the husband, the father, if he can render him defeated, he can destroy many lives. He can hurt many souls. And so the head of the home is designed by God as to be filled by the husband, the father. We see the heart of the home by God is designed to be filled by the woman, by the wife, by the mother. She is the heart of that home, the heartbeat of that home. She is called by the Creator the helpmeet for the man. She is called to align herself as the support, as the cheerleader, as the helpmeet, the homemaker, the heart of that home. Titus chapter 2 verses 4 and 5 speak of this woman, that they may teach the younger women, speaking of more mature women, older women, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. God's design of the woman's role is a supportive role of making that house a home, of nurturing and guiding and teaching and caring. God's design of the roles are perfect. And yet there is such a breakdown today in the marriage design, in God's blueprint. And so that brings us to number two, which I've covered a little bit here as well. And that is, if we're going to support the biblical role of fatherhood, I believe number one, we need to hold fast the Creator's design of marriage. But secondly, we need to walk in God's prescription for my role. For my role. We've got a display of folks from all kinds of different places in their life. But I believe as we encourage and as we support God's design of marriage, and as we recognize our role, whether that's as a son, as a child, walking in obedience, or whether that's as a spouse, as a wife, or whether that's as a grandmother, or whatever the case may be, God's role for our life in support of the family is important. oftentimes couples who are experiencing challenge in their life, in their marriage, sometimes get unwise and ungodly and contrary to God's design counsel from a grandmother or a mother or whatever, you name it, some family member that influences them. Yeah, you should leave them, you know, it's don't stay there. I mean, that's no, and this type of counsel, which is ungodly, unbiblical, and contrary to the Creator's instruction. And so we do need to be careful, and we do need to recognize the opportunities we have to encourage those in hardship and to write notes of encouragement on anniversary days and on Father's Day, and things like that can make a difference in someone else's life. And it doesn't have to be just on Father's Day, but encouraging. Maybe it's that grandson who's a new father or something, writing a note and encouraging them to seek the Lord, encouraging them to be a godly man and all of those things. And so God calls us to fulfill our role. And so as we think about specifically the role of the wife and the husband, as we support this nucleus of the marriage, of the family, it is the atoms of our society, the very small particles that make up the whole. And as those foundational things are destroyed, our nation will break down from within. The greatest threat to this land, to the United States of America, which are free, the greatest threat really, and I'm not minimizing this threat, but is not Islamic terrorism. It's not. It's the breakdown from within of our own society, of the marriage between one man and one woman for one life, between the family and that the local church and God's design of the spiritual growth of the people of this nation, and all of these things, the moralness of our society is under attack today. We need godly men who will stand when others run, who will lead their homes for the right and stand for our nation for what is right. And so walk in God's prescription for your role. It's taboo today to talk about wives submitting to their husbands. That's taboo. That's ancient. It's not cool. But yet it is the Creator's design. And in our world today also, it is an unfortunate thing that so many times the protector of the home, the leader of the home, is not by his post. Oftentimes there's selfishness, self-serving instead of sacrificial service. It's hard to raise a family. It's hard to stick by the stuff and to guide your children in the ways of the Lord. It's a high calling. It's a hard calling, but it is worth it all. Someone wrote a poem. I took a piece of clay today and idly fashioned it, and as my fingers pressed it still, it moved and yielded to my will. I came again when days were past. The bit of clay was hard at last. The form I gave it, still it bore, but I could change that form no more. I took a piece of living clay and gently formed it day by day, and molded with my power and art a young child's soft and yielding heart. I came again when many years were gone. It was a man I looked upon. He still that early impress bore, and I could change it nevermore. The molding of a life. What is your role? Perhaps to the ladies, as wives and mothers and grandmothers, what is your role in supporting? I have written down here, particularly relating to the wife in the marriage, of heartfelt submission, as we read about here in Ephesians. We read about in chapter 5, I'll just note over there to those verses, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." And verse 24, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." The word submission, literally, I know the word here is submit, but the word submission literally means to get under someone else's mission. A lot of times, because of the breakdown of the family, a lot of times everybody's doing their own thing, right? Dad's doing his thing, mom's doing her thing, the kids are all doing their thing. With breakdown in the family fellowship around the table, breakdown of family devotions, breakdown of family vacations, breakdown of family worshiping God together, breakdown. And so how can we support that? We can develop these godly disciplines of praying together, of reading the Bible together, of eating as many meals together as we can, of spending time together having fun, of spending time together under the preaching and teaching of God's Word, of nurturing a healthy family life with the husband being a loving leader and a wife in heartfelt support, with loving respect and sacrificial service, with healthy communication and quality time, a family can be built, lives can be formed, and a generation can be raised for God's glory. Support God's design of the marriage and the family. Walk as an individual in God's prescription for your role. What is your role? What would God have you to do to support the families under your extended family? What would God have you to do to strengthen their lives? And number three, pray for and strive together for the success of the marriage and family. If a nation, as one of our founding fathers said, cannot rise or fall without God's notice, nor can a home or a father rise or fall or be successful in his role without God's grace. Prayer is critical to the success of families, of homes, of fathers, of lives. We need to pray for those families, those husbands, those not only directly connected to us in terms of our spouse or something like that, but those that our daughters are married to, those that are our own children, those that are our brothers and sisters, those that are around us, that we would pray for those, asking God for what we believe would be His will. And as I think here in the situation more closely of a wife praying for her husband, of a mother praying for her children's father, asking God for what you believe would be God's will, praying edifying, uplifting prayers. So many times in the breakdown in the home, there's conflict between mom and dad instead of a togetherness and a support one of the other. And so praying edifying prayers for one another, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers encouraging that one before God in the right way, and cooperating with God for the best outcome possible. Cooperating with God. I think again specifically of the husband and wife, of the mother and father in the home relationship. The support of fatherhood comes through not only prayer, but cooperation with God for the best outcome. I think of the woman in Proverbs 31. Let's go over there to Proverbs 31. Noticing verse 26, the helpmeet in the home here, it says, openeth her mouth with wisdom. This is speaking, of course, of the virtuous woman, but it's evident she is married, and by God's design, she is to be a helpmeet. And so that's why I insert that. The helpmeet here openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. Her mouth is guided with kindness. Her words are edifying and helpful. Notice verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She's certainly a hard worker, but I want you to notice not just that she's a hard worker in the home for the children, but that she is a support to her husband. It says in verse 10, back over here in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price or her value is far above rubies. Verse 11, notice with me, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. What a special thing it is in my home, in my marriage, to have the support of my wife. And like this virtuous woman, my wife, I can safely trust in her. And that's a blessing. And that verse 12, she will do him good and not evil. And that's a blessing. I can't imagine how it would be to not have that support, to not have God's design and his framework. I remarked to my wife, I believe it was yesterday, just maybe as we pillowed our head last evening, of the homes that we have and how we grew up and how God brought us together in a holy way and in a good way, and what a foundation it has given us to navigate through the challenges of life, and what a blessing that is. And so one of the greatest things that a wife can do is to fulfill her God-given role and to be the helpmeet in that home and to allow her husband to lead and to support him even in times of his blunders. And that's what I mean even here with this point of cooperating with God for the best outcome possible. I'll go to one last passage here in the book of 1 Peter and chapter 3. This is a tremendous passage, very important, very applicable to everyday life and to the challenges sometimes that are faced by families and homes. In 1 Peter 3, it speaks particularly to the wife whose husband is not walking with the Lord, whose husband is not obedient to the Word of God. And notice what it says in 1 Peter 3 of how she is to support fatherhood and her home. The best thing she can do for her home. 1 Peter 3, it says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. God didn't change his tune. He hasn't changed the instructions. He just reiterates them. Be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation. That's the godly lifestyle, the manner of life of the wives. Verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, coupled with reverence. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair or wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. This woman's beauty is not just exterior. God's not speaking against that, but that's not the real beauty that will win that man. But verse 4, but let it be the hidden man, the hidden woman of the heart, the inner man, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. And so God calls the marriage to be a place where we, even in difficult circumstances, embrace and even more emphasize God's God-given roles. And so this morning on Father's Day, I emphasize the critical element of the marriage for fathers to be what they need to be. The family needs to begin with a healthy relationship in the bond of marriage. And God's design is perfect. And so what can you do this morning? What can you do in your life, in your sphere of influence, through a card, through a letter, through a book, through a word of encouragement, through prayer? What can you do to encourage the biblical role of fatherhood? There's a major breakdown in our world, but there are those who are faithful, those who are sticking with the Creator's design and are nurturing young lives. Will you be an influence in this generation to support the family and God's design? Future generations will be impacted. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for your perfect design of the family. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to recognize that it is without error. It is without flaw of which you created this design. And help us to emphasize it. Help us to apply it. And we, in the different roles we have, help us to be faithful, that we might have a right perspective and faithfully fulfill with the right attitude what you've called us to. Lord, I do thank you for the fathers that have had an impact on different ones gathered here. Lord, fathers have a huge potential. Help me to be faithful. Help others in this church to be faithful. Different stages of life and different fathers, some not represented here, but yet a part of this church. Lord, I pray that you'd work in different lives to accomplish the molding and making of young lives for Christ. Lord, we thank you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.